What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, there is one team in baseball right now that I am starting to get worried about that I think they're actually going to lose their grip on their division because they've got a team up on their ass and they're hot, whereas this team that's had their grip on their division is really starting to fall apart. So let's get right in to the Trop 10 MLB Power Rankings for this week. Not a lot of changes at the top. I'd say it's the typical top teams. And then, like I said, we've got a team that's really fallen apart. And then a couple of the other usual suspects. We also have a super hot team in there as well. But let's get it started at number one. Still remains the Baltimore Orioles. Overall record of 73-52. They are 5-5 in their last 10 games. And this past week, they split the series between the Washington Nationals and also split the series with the Boston Red Sox. So it's just been steady pace for them. I mean, they have had to battle through, you know, Rutschman. He's missed a couple of games due to injury, and so they've had moments like that. But I'd say overall, there really isn't anything to worry about with the Orioles, which is why I haven't dropped them, because every team is going to go through slumps. But I mean, if your slump is that you're splitting series, that's really not much of a slump. And especially when one of those teams is a division rival as well, it's always a tough matchup regardless. But, you know, you got Gunnar Henderson, who still is just dominating and carrying this team. Right now he's batting at .288 with 33 home runs and 77 RBI on the season. He leads in all of those categories, except he does trail Santander in the home run and RBI categories by a couple, which is really odd because even though Santander, he's been a very consistent hitter, he doesn't usually have the numbers that he's had this season. But I mean, really, that's just par for the course, really, with the Baltimore Orioles. It's an entire team this year. They've got guys showing out. They've, you know, I haven't even really discussed Craig Kimbrell, who's been one of the top closers in the league. I mean, he's been one of the top closers in the league for many years. Then we kind of felt like he was maybe sliding off and maybe going down the tail end of his career. Well, if that's true, he's still pitching pretty hard and doing a lot for this Baltimore Orioles team. So it was just I could not drop them down. They still lead their division. Yes, they're tied with the Yankees, but still technically they own the tiebreaker. And you know, they're just too good to drop right now. Then at number two on my Trop 10 MLB Power Rankings of the New York Yankees, overall record is 73-52. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Chicago White Sox, but lost the series to the Detroit Tigers. And I mean, with the Yankees, it's, I mean, offense has been no issues. It does suck that Jazz Chisholm, he is going to be on the injured list for a little while here with an injury. But I mean, it's really just the starting pitching that's really been the problem. Also the bullpen. I mean, Clay Holmes has been giving up. He's been blowing some saves lately, and it's not good. So that could end up being an issue for the Yankees. Because like I said, Craig Kimbrell, he's been pretty solid for the most part this year, whereas Holmes, he, for the most part, is good, but he has had his shaky moments. And hey, he just over the weekend, blew some saves. I mean, really, this guy's, he's been very up and down. So it's the pitching that is the problem with the Yankees, because you never know what you're going to get. But of course, they've got Aaron Judge, and you always know what you're going to get with him. And the Triple Crown watch right now is looking, he's batting a .331 on the season, and that is still second to Bobby Witt Jr., but he does lead with 44 home runs and 111 RBI. By a lot, too. I mean, especially in the RBI department, I believe he's got like an 11-run RBI lead right now. So, yeah, Aaron Judge, he is just headed towards that Triple Crown. But I don't know, Bobby Witt Jr. is looking like he's going to hold on to the batting average. It's going to take probably a really, really major slump to get Judge there. I mean, Judge is not far behind, but Bobby Witt Jr. has been so good this year that I think it's going to be real difficult for Judge to actually get the Triple Crown. But hey, he's plateaued the 40 home run mark this year and the 100 RBI mark. So that's already a solid accomplishment on the season. And then, of course, the rest of the team offensively not doing too shabby either. I mean, of course, Soto, he's having a phenomenal year. Volpe has had his moments as well. It's really just, like I said, the pitching has had its very shaky moments, especially as of late. Then at number 3 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Los Angeles Dodgers, overall record of 73-52. They are 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they split the series with the Milwaukee Brewers, and they took the series over the St. Louis Cardinals. One bit of bad news for them is they did have to put Tyler Glasnow on the injured list, and he's been their workhorse all season long. The dude's been killing it in strikeouts. He's been getting the wins. He's pretty much been the most consistent pitcher they've had all year. Because with the Dodgers, that really is their issue, is the injuries, plus the starting pitching's been very shaky. Although I will say Clayton Kershaw came out and pitched a pretty solid game the other day, so they still have him just out there. But still, for the most part, it's been starting pitching has not been consistent for them, but they did get Mookie Betts back as well. And then Ohtani, he had an Ohtani slump. And what I mean by that is he just had a bad week. Something like that, a bad like 4 games in a row or something, but he got right back on track. Right now he's batting a .290 with 39 home runs and 88 RBI, so he's almost at that 40 home run mark on the season. Then at number 4 in my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Philadelphia Phillies. Overall record of 73-51. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week they split the series with the Miami Marlins and then completely demolished the Washington Nationals. It is still getting more difficult to keep the Phillies up here just because they just have been bad for the last, now going on what seems like a month at this rate. And so, and the major issue for them has actually been their bullpen. They're at the beginning of the season, the bullpen was one of the best in the league. And now all of a sudden they are also just blowing saves and just really giving it up in the end of the game. Because for the Phillies, it's basically like the Yankees. They have no issues offensively. It's that that bullpen is just not looking too good right now. They still should easily win this division, especially with the news that we got out of Atlanta today that we will talk about later. But the Phillies, they are looking less and less like a consistent contender, but not bad enough for me to drop out of the top teams, if you will, on my top 10. Then at number 5 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Milwaukee Brewers. Overall record of 72-52. They are 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they split the series with the Dodgers and then swept the Cleveland Guardians. So this team, this is what they've done all season long, is they get really hot, they get really cold. They get really hot, they get really cold. And right now, they are on fire. The series against the Dodgers was actually really good. They pretty much handled the Dodgers for the most part. It was just there were a couple close games, and it turned out, that the Dodgers are a good team, so they were going to put up a good fight, but it turned out to be a really solid series, and then they just really took it to the Guardians over the weekend. Contreras is having a phenomenal year. Adames is having a solid year, and then, of course, their rookie Jackson Chourio. He's been a huge source of offense for them. The Brewers, they also have a kind of shaky pitching. Colin Ray actually pitched a really solid game yesterday, but then his previous game before that, he just got completely blown up. I think he had something crazy like 3 or 4 home runs that he gave up. So they are a very streaky team, but it was really difficult for me to not put them over the Phillies. But that is why I did not put them over the Phillies, because I think when it comes down to it, if we're talking about overall teams and if these teams were to face off in the playoffs, I would probably take the Phillies over the Brewers, just because while the Phillies are on a slump right now, that I think they could get hot and they could easily just annihilate them offensively. And if it were like a 7-game series, things are a little bit different. But so the Brewers' inconsistency is really what's holding them back in my top 10. Then at number 6 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Houston Astros. Overall record of 67-56. They are 9-1 in their last 10 games and the hottest team in the league right now. I keep saying that the last couple of weeks, but this is true. They took out the Tampa Bay Rays. They took out the Chicago White Sox this week. And offense has been no problem for this team. Yordan is just mashing him. Altuve, he's also having another phenomenal year. Bregman's really been hot about the last month and a half now. And then you've got Jeremy Pena, who's been a very consistent hitter, who continues to get on base, and he's also having a phenomenal year. And then, they're getting healthier as the season wears on, and just this team has a shit ton of experience once we get to the playoffs. So I really would not be shocked to see the Houston Astros back in the World Series. Then at number 7 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the San Diego Padres, overall record of 70-55. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week they swept the Pirates, but then got swept by the Rockies. But, you know, the Rockies are their division rival, and they have had issues with the Rockies over the years. So, you know, you can chalk it up to that, really. I mean, this is still a solid team. Offensively, they're just getting a ton of runs from Jurickson Profar, Jackson Merrill, their rookie, Manny Machado. He started off the season kind of cold, but now he is back to Manny Machado. And then Jake Cronenworth also having a phenomenal year. The starting pitching's actually been holding it down. I don't know if I think the Padres are a legit contender just yet, but they've, you know, been pretty consistent, I want to say, the last couple of months here. So we'll see what we got from the Padres and if they're able to maybe make a run at the division. But, you know, I still think the Dodgers are a much better team than them. Then at number 8 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, the team that I feel like is in the most trouble right now, that would be the Cleveland Guardians. Overall record of 72-52. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they did take the series over the Chicago Cubs, but then they just got demolished by the Brewers. And they really did need that series over the Cubs. But prior to that, they were on a bad losing streak, and then now they just got smashed by the Brewers. And they just are, you know, I've had my questions about them just with all the injuries they've had to overcome this year. But now all of a sudden, Stephen Kwan, he's not hitting as well as he has been. So he's been kind of cold. And, I mean, really, the only two consistent players right now on this Guardians team really are, of course, the closer, Emmanuel Clase, one of the top guys in the league at the closer position. I mean, probably the top guy in the league at the closer position, at least right now. And then, of course, Jose Ramirez, who's been just phenomenal this year. So those are really their only two guys who have been very consistent. Other than that, you know, Naylor's, I wouldn't say slumping, but he's not being as consistent. And to me, the Guardians really have to watch out because actually, the team right on their ass is actually technically right on their ass in my top 10 MLB power rankings this week at number 9, the Kansas City Royals. Overall record of 69-55. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost the series to the Twins, but swept the Cincinnati Reds. But this team, they look really young. They look really good. They've played very consistent baseball for the most part, and they just seem to look like a team that could easily take over this division. I still think the Guardians have a good shot at keeping their lead, but the Royals are a team they really have to look out for. I mean, there's still about a month and a half left to go before the postseason gets here, and the Royals are a primed and ready team. I mean, they've got some young guys on here, like Bobby Witt Jr., of course. I've discussed him. This guy is having an amazing year, and it feels like he's just getting better as the season wears on. And then you've got Salvador Perez, who's just the old Wiley vet. He's having a phenomenal year. You got Vinny Pasquantino, who's finally, you know, showing out the way we thought he was going to. So I look at this Kansas City Royals team, and I think they've got a good shot if they keep playing this way and the Guardians keep playing the way they're playing. I feel like the Royals are going to take over their division and ultimately win that division and move on to the playoffs. They're probably going to move on to the playoffs anyways as a wild card. I feel like they're definitely getting in as a wild card. But I don't know, man. I feel like they're a lot more consistent and a lot more reliable than the Cleveland Guardians are, at least right now. And then rounding out the top 10 MLB power rankings this week of the Arizona Diamondbacks, overall record of 69-56. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Colorado Rockies but lost to the Tampa Bay Rays. A big issue for them right now is their top producer on offense, Ketel Marte. He already missed the majority of the week due to a sprained right ankle. And then yesterday he came in the game as a designated hitter and re-injured the ankle. And now he's been put on the injured list as of today. So who knows if that's really going to affect the Diamondbacks. Now, I will say Christian Walker, who's another one of their big top players on offense. He's been on the injured list for a minute as well, so they haven't really suffered without him. But Marte, he's pretty much been their backbone. I mean, he's had some big hits. He's great with the stolen bases. He tends to just get on base almost every time he's up to bat. So this is going to take a lot of the wind out of the sails for the Diamondbacks in an already crowded division and an already crowded National League wild card race as well. So we'll see if their veterans are able to step it up and keep it moving in the absence of Marte. And then in just a bit of more bad news for the Atlanta Braves, I mean, as if their season could not be more injury riddled, they've pretty much lost every one of their top guys at some point in the season. And now they're going to miss another top guy, Austin Riley. He got hit in the hand with the baseball and he broke a bone, and he's going to be out for 6 to 8 weeks. So that puts him out to the postseason. Now, that if they make the postseason, good for them. They should probably have him back by then, but you don't know with the broken bones, and especially in the hand, because he's got to grip that bat. And Austin Riley is a great hitter, and he's pretty much been the go-to guy right now for the Braves for the most part, just because they've had to battle through so many injuries. But unfortunately, Austin Riley has suffered an injury, and the Atlanta Braves season just couldn't get worse, at least as far as the injuries go. All right, and now that we are just a couple weeks, we're about 2.5 weeks out from the start of the NFL season. So that means it is NFL season prediction time for me. So today we are going to start with the NFC and AFC East teams because, of course, I am a Dallas Cowboys fan. So we got to start with the NFC East because that's what I'd rather talk about. So here is how I believe the NFC East is going to pan out this year. Beginning with the division winner, yes, I believe my Dallas Cowboys are going to win this division at 12-5. The questions on this team, of course, the running back position is probably the biggest question mark on this team because we did re-sign Zeke Elliott in the offseason, but the dude's old, so who knows what he still has left in the tank. And then everybody else behind him is a nobody, so we don't know what we're getting at the running back position, and that was kind of a problem last year, so we'll see what happens there, but I would say that's their biggest issue. Another question I would say for the Cowboys this year is the offensive line, because they did lose, of course, their workhorse, Tyron Smith. They lost him in the offseason, did not re-sign him, but they did draft some guys. We had to get a new center as well. So there are a couple of changes on the offensive line, but you can't really tell if it's going to be a huge loss or if they're just a nice gain in the end, because the Cowboys actually are, they do draft offensive linemen really well. And they always have over the years. We've always found these amazing gems. So I'm usually not worried about the offensive line, but I feel like that if there is an issue, it could be the offensive line. But at the end of the day, we don't really know. So that's why it's a question to me. But the positives with the Cowboys this year, and one of the reasons why I think they are going to be one of the best teams in the NFC, but also dominate this division, is I'm putting it down right now. The Dallas Cowboys defense is going to be the number one defense in the league this year. And the reason why I say that is because even in preseason, and I know preseason doesn't count for shit, but their backups are ball hawks. Their backups are just killing it. They're making big plays, and they're the backups. So if the backups look that good, I'm looking forward to having Trayvon Diggs back. I'm looking forward to seeing what Micah Parsons got. I'm looking forward to seeing what DeMarcus Lawrence got. I mean, we've got a solid-ass defense, and I think the Cowboys' defense is going to be number one this year. I think they're going to be ball hawks once again. And this says a lot because we did lose Dan Quinn, the defensive coordinator, in the offseason. He went on to now be the coach of the Washington Commanders. So we did get Mike Zimmer back. He used to be the defensive coordinator of many years ago, but he is back. And when he was the defensive coordinator previously, our defense was stout, and our defense looks even more stout than they ever have been. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what Trayvon Diggs has got. You know, since we lost him halfway through the season last year, I mean, he was already starting the season off great. So I'm really looking forward to this Cowboys defense, and I think it's going to be their driving force. I think they're going to dominate, and I'm saying it here right now. The Dallas Cowboys defense is going to be the number one defense in the league this year. Also, another positive for the Dallas Cowboys is their kicker, Brandon Aubrey. I don't usually rave on kickers, but this motherfucker in the preseason, this last preseason game, just kicked a 66-yard field goal. I mean, the dude was money last year. Only missed, like, what, 2 or 3 field goals? And I mean, he went for the record on consecutive made field goals. So the guy is not only just money, but like at a distance, it's like even if you're far away, it's like, well, we got a shot, especially if we're in a dome or something like that, or at home. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he's got. And then, of course, the Cowboys do have some contract issues they've been working out. CeeDee Lamb hasn't come to camp yet, but I'm not worried about that. I think CeeDee Lamb's going to be at least in suited up week one, and that's really all that needs to happen. I think he will get his money, as he should. But the big question is what's going to happen with Dak? Well, in my personal opinion, I don't think it matters if they re-sign Dak or not. As a matter of fact, I would keep him just on this one-year deal and worry about it in the offseason. And same with Mike McCarthy, because I just kind of feel like it's do or die for them, and you should put the pressure on them. And I just kind of feel like that's going to make them be even better, and that's kind of what I'm expecting from Dak. Dak's actually had a really solid last couple of seasons, and last year he really cut it down on the interceptions, and he was been one of the most accurate guys in the league. You know, he's not Patrick Mahomes, not saying anything like that, but he has been one of the top producing quarterbacks over the last couple of seasons, and I kind of feel like it's a contract year. He's happy to bet on himself, and I think he's going to have a solid year and be another reason why the Cowboys are one of the top teams in the league this year. Then finishing in second place in the NFC East, I have the Philadelphia Eagles. I actually have them falling off quite a bit this year. Obviously not that far, because the second place in this division, but I've got them coming in at 9-8. I just don't. The questions for me with this team is, for one, we've already been hearing all of the rumblings about how there's apparently a rift between quarterback Jalen Hurts and coach Nick Sirianni. When that's an issue, I just kind of feel like, you know, we saw how they fell apart last year. You know, the Eagles started off the beginning of the regular season, as the best team in the league. Then all of a sudden they lose, and they just couldn't stop losing, and it just kept getting worse and worse until they lost. And now we're hearing about apparently Hurts and Sirianni are disagreeing on certain things, and so I kind of wonder if that's going to be a fallback for them this season. Another thing is they're going to be missing their all-pro center, Jason Kelce. He retired, so that basically eliminates the tush push, which was a huge part of their offense. And I kind of feel like it's immediate. They're going to try it. I'm sure they're going to try it, but I don't think it's going to be as successful just because Kelce's not there. I mean, he was, to me, the centerpiece, obviously, of that. So I don't think it's going to be as successful. And then also there are tons of questions on their defense. They don't really have any solid they just don't really have any superstars on the defense. And so I think that the defense is probably going to get blown up. I will say they did make a positive move in the offseason at the running back position. They did sign Saquon Barkley. When he's healthy, he is a damn good running back. It's just the words I just said, when he's healthy. He seems to get injured every year, and it's usually not just like a sprain. It's usually like a torn ACL or just something crazy like that. So it's usually a season-ending type thing. But if he's able to stay healthy, he's probably going to be produce a lot offensively for this team, because they do have a better offensive line than they did in New York, and he does have a better quarterback. So he should produce well here if he stays healthy. But I do think the Eagles are going to fall back this season. Then finishing in third place in the NFC East, I have the Washington Commanders. I have them finishing at 6-11, just because, you know, they've got a new coach, they've got a new rookie quarterback, and there's just a lot of holes on this team that need to be filled. It's basically a rebuilding team, but I do think they're moving in the positive direction. Dan Quinn, you don't know what you're going to get from him. He did take the Falcons to the Super Bowl, but it was a kind of up and down time for him with the Falcons. Then their defense, even though Dan Quinn is the coach, I look at their defense and I looked at their roster, and they don't have really any standout guys, at least from what I could see right now. So we'll see what's up with that. But really, I do think the positive is Jaden Daniels. I definitely think he's going to be the quarterback of the future for this team. From what I've seen so far in the preseason, he actually looks pretty solid. I mean, it's just preseason, but he looks like he's going to be a solid quarterback, and I just kind of feel like that's going to be a positive for them, and he's probably going to be the reason why they get six of those wins this season. But rounding out the NFC East in last place, I have the New York Giants. I think they're going to be one of the worst teams in the league this year. I've got them going 3-14. This team is only question marks. There is nothing positive about this team. Daniel Jones is terrible. Their offensive line is terrible. Now that they lost Saquon Barkley, they have no running backs. They have no receivers. Their defense is questionable. There is nothing good about the New York Giants. So I feel like I'm going to be laughing a lot this season because I feel like the New York Giants are going to be one of the worst teams in the league this year, and that puts a smile on my face. Now moving on to the AFC East and how I feel this division is going to pan out. This one was a kind of a difficult division for me to work out because I feel like the Jets, the Bills, and the Dolphins all could win this division. So I do think these three teams are going to battle it out between each other, and I kind of feel like that's going to, you know, hinder your records just a bit, because I just think they're going to beat up on each other. But I also don't look at these teams and go, wow, you are a damn good team. Like, I used to look at the Bills and think, wow, you are a damn good team. But man, when you look at this Bills roster, there are a lot of questions. So, and to me, the Dolphins, I've never believed in them. I've felt like they were a fugazi team last year, and I feel that way heading into this season. So they're going to have to prove it to me. So let's talk about who I think is going to win this division, and I have the New York Jets. I say that hesitantly, especially with how things ended last year, but I do have them going 11-6 this season. Now, of course, their question's going to be, how is Aaron Rodgers going to recover from the Achilles injury, because that is not an easy injury to come back from, even if you are Aaron Rodgers. But if he is the old Aaron Rodgers, then this team is going to at least be competitive, if anything. Now, a problem to me is going to still be their offensive line. They did make some improvements, especially through the draft, but I don't know if they're going to be good enough improvements to keep Aaron Rodgers off of his back for a lot of this season, which is a problem, and that's how he got injured last year. But you know what? That it is just what it is. But I do believe one of the big positives for the Jets is the defense. They do have they have a great defense, and they actually played really well last year, the defense did. I mean, as terrible as the Jets' season turned out, the defense was pretty much their only shining star. So I feel like that's going to carry them. And then Aaron Rodgers being Aaron Rodgers, I just think that's they're going to win the AFC East this year. And I'll explain why these other ones are behind them. So I've got the Bills finishing in second place in the AFC East at 10-7, so not too far behind the Jets. But to me, the Bills are Josh Allen, and who the fuck else is this team? I mean, the wide receiver position is now just nobody. They traded away Stephon Diggs in the offseason, and now they have zero receivers. Like, it's terrible. Like, their biggest standout is Marquez Valdez-Scantling, I would say, and that's pathetic if that is your standout receiver. And then the running back position, still a very, which has been a huge, huge issue for them for so many years, and they still have yet to really take care of that position. And so I look at all their other positions on offense outside of tight end and quarterback, they are not shored up, and I think the Bills are going to have a weird season where I see them going on like random losing streaks, but then getting some big wins here and there. And I just kind of feel like their season's going to be up and down. And so I don't really look at them as a very consistent team. And that's why I've got them finishing in second place. Then in third place, I have the Miami Dolphins. I have them finishing at 9-8. It's just, there's really nothing that I look at this team and go, oh yeah, they're going to do it. It's just the Dolphins have always been the Dolphins, at least for since the 80s, pretty much. You know, this team has not really been consistent at all, and they fell apart in the second half of the season. You never know what you're going to get from Tua. They do have a solid wide receiving core with Tyreek Hill. and Jalen Waddle, and then they did just pick up OBJ in the offseason. So they've got some playmakers, of course, but their defense is terrible. Who are they going to stop? And I just look, like I said, I look at their division, and I just kind of feel like this division is going to beat up on each other other than the last place team. And I just think the Dolphins are going to just end up getting left behind and just being kind of one of those teams that, you know, is there, and then the season's over, and it's like, oh, yeah, the Dolphins, whoop, there they are, not making the playoffs again, and that's just kind of how I look at them. But rounding out the AFC East is the New England Patriots, and here's what I got to say about the New England Patriots. This is my prediction on the New England Patriots this year. I think the New England Patriots are going to be the worst team in the league this year. I have them going 1-16. Yes, that's right, 1-16, and you say, why? Why, Katie? Why would you do that? Because trust me, this has nothing to do with any type of haterism or anything. It's just they traded away their only good player, Matthew Judon, a couple weeks ago to Atlanta. And now this team has nobody on it. They are the straight-up nobody squad. They are going to be terrible on offense. They are going to be terrible on defense. They are going to be terrible on special teams. They have a new coach. They have a rookie quarterback. This team is going to be so bad. Like, the Patriots have been so bad for about since Tom Brady left. It's about to get worse, and that says a lot because it kind of feels like the Patriots have just been in a complete portal of suckage since the day Tom Brady left them, and it's going to continue to suck this year because take a look at that roster. Just go look at your roster and don't even pretend that there's anybody halfway good on there, and I don't care even if Drake May shows out this season. He's a rookie, and he has nobody to throw the ball to because there's no weapons. He does have Ramondre Stevenson at running back, but that dude's always known to get injured. And yes, he's a solid guy, but who the fuck knows if he's even going to be good, because what else? The Patriots have nothing going on this year. So my prediction for the Patriots this year, the worst team in the league this year. They will be the number one overall draft pick next year, and that is my prediction for the New England Patriots. All right, y'all. Enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.